Welcome to the Permatemp Corporation. A presentation of the audio podcast, This Is Actually Happening. Episode 26. What if you are a nurse for hardened criminals?
I've been a nurse for 17 years, and 10 of that was spent in the Air Force. I was stationed in the States at an Air Force hospital, and our patients would be veterans and retirees and their families, their wives. I didn't know 100% that I was going to be called up, but I've always been on a mobility team. We would go out to a field and practice setting up the tent hospital. We basically were trained in how to build a hospital out of nothing, out in the middle of nowhere, and get it going and put equipment inside it. They put me in for it and said, "You're going." I was honored and I was nervous and excited and was happy to go. And, you know, I love travel. That's why I joined the military in the first place, was to see the world. So we would take patients off the planes. The planes were coming in from Iraq and Afghanistan. So a soldier would get out, you know, wounded, ambushed out in the field, or there'd be an IED explosion or whatever. And they fly them out of Iraq and Afghanistan to a place like Germany. And it's just another hop in the jump. And so they would arrive on our base, Ramstein Air Base. We would unload them from the planes onto buses and take them on up to the ICU. When I was stationed at Ramstein, it was probably the worst Ramadan in history. I don't want to put all Arabs into this, but there's a sect of the Arab population that they recognize that as a holy war, and they do anything and everything they can to kill, you know, the oppressors, which I guess in their eyes is the Americans. And they were devising better and better IEDs, or improvised explosionary device, and roadside bombs by like their gear. They would pour whatever it is on the black market and then build this bomb, and then they would put all kinds of shrapnel in the bomb. I'm sure it was like razor blades and nails and just all kinds of horrible things. And they would figure out a way to pierce the bottom of the tanks. These guys were getting hit. These IEDs would go off and it would immediately blow a hole through the bottom of the tank. And then, you know, picture yourself in a tank. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. So that IED explosion becomes like a human microwave. Not only are soldiers killed, the ones that live, they're inhaling these explosionary fumes, and they are burnt from head to toe. So when I say the back of that cargo plane opened up, you know, two things, hot air hits you, and I would have sand in my eyes. So I knew that air was from Iraq and Afghanistan, so I know there's a lot of dust and deserts out there. And then just the smell of burnt flesh. The smell of burnt flesh. It has a unique smell and a sickening smell, and it hits you right away. And I'm finally to the point now where I don't have an anxiety attack over just talking about the smell. But when I first came back from there, that's all I would talk about. I was processing, you know, what I saw and the human bacon and the smell, and I started every conversation with it for like 6 months, and I alienated a lot of my friends and coworkers, but I couldn't help it. I needed to process that. It was my Vietnam. I needed to process it. Finally, after 6 months, I realized I was alienating everyone, and I just had to stop doing it. And it was hard at first to not discuss it anymore, but it helped me. It's like a baby step kind of thing, you know. I was able to snap back from it then. I got out of the Air Force a few years ago, and the economy tanked, so there wasn't much work out there. The stuff that I was experiencing doing, that was not available for like a year. just worked in another industry and then came back to nursing once I got something. And that something was at a state prison. And there are some high-profile prisoners there, too. This facility, it was all men, thousands and thousands of men. You know, I would see people in 2020, and a month later, they would be my patient. Suicidal, and yeah. This crazy figure, like 60 to 90% of them were sexually assaulted as children. So, you know, as their nurse, almost all of them have that in there. And it's just like, my God, what that does to a kid. Vicious circle. It has to stop. You know, society shit on them, they shit on us, but irregardless, you know, we have to take care of them. Once you lose your humanity, you're done. You're done. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to piss someone off, or you're going to neglect something, and something big is, you know, going to hit the fan, and you're going to lose your job. It is a very fine line, and I think it's the excellent nurses and correction officers and the correctional doctors as well who know, you know, where that line is. And, you know, we walk it every day. What happens is you lose your humanity, and then you neglect something or don't listen to what an inmate is saying, and if something happens, they get hurt, you know, or someone doesn't have your back or you don't have their back, and then so, you know, there's a riot or a fight or something, you have to put an inmate, you know, down on the floor or whatever to get control of the situation. Yeah, you know, officers get injured that way. You have to be on all four cylinders, I'll say, when you work in corrections. I was fortunate where I was working. It was like a big family. I mean, it was so dangerous there, and our criminals are the worst in society. So just, I noticed that it was a very tight-knit family there. Like, I have officers there that if I saw them, I would run up to them, give them a hug, and they would do the same for me, and nurses there as well, you know. Well, I was always hugging people all the time. You have to create, you know, positive, loving friendships. So just, I think it creates a sense of family, and, you know, no way would you let, you know, an officer or nurse go down. You know, you would always have their back, you know. So I think that's why they have such a tight-knit family atmosphere. Corrections is not for everybody, but it suited me just fine. I loved it up until this incident with the touching. I worked there about 2 years, and a year and three quarters into it, I got touched in the emergency room. So this guy had fake chest pain, so I took him back to check him out. So what happened was I was leaning over him to put the EKG leads on him because I wanted to look at his heart rhythm with like a full-on study. And as I was leaning over him, I felt his thumb touch my, you know, my personal area down there. And I jumped back, and just without thinking, I just started hitting him. I plucked his knuckle. I guess it was kind of like a nun move, I would call it. It wasn't too painful, but it was enough. I wanted to be immediate, and I wanted to socialize him and teach him a lesson. And I was like, I remember saying, don't do that. Put your hands underneath your butt and don't pull them out or you're going to get it. And then I was nice to him before that. But as soon as he touched, I could feel like my body just physically, it was this physical change. It was like someone poured ice water on me. It was just immediate. Just my tone with him was just sharp and angry and upset, but extremely professional. Sent him back to his cell, and I went to go get the form that's required so I can write this guy up. So the officer brought him, was writing him up for faking the chest pain. And you know, a lot of them do that. They wanted to see the new facility, but I don't blame them, but they're not supposed to do that. It wastes, you know, time and resources. So I went to get this form. It was in this metal cabinet. And the charge nurse, this male, who, you know, military type, I guess he's a retiree or something, he blocked the file cabinet with his chair and was like, you don't need that. And I was like floored. I was like, oh my God, what? So, he's like, you don't need that form. I was like, why? Because we're going to write him up anyway. So they were thinking they were going to write him up for faking it. That's where their mind was. They didn't. This is what they said later, is they didn't know that I got touched and, you know, emotionally assaulted like that. Everyone's got an adversary at work that they're just not afraid to stand up to, and I was never afraid to stand up to him, so this was just icing on the cake. So if he would, you know, he gets into this pissy, power-trippy moods, and I don't take that shit. I don't take shit from him. I don't need to. He thinks he's right all the time, and that hurts his ability to listen. Because if he had listened to what I was saying, he would have been like, oh, yeah, that form is right here, and oh, my God, where did he touch you? And we need to fill out this other form, and, you know, it all would have been done. Anyway, end of the shift came, and I knew I had to report it, so I had written a letter, like on Microsoft Word or something, in the computer, in our little ER there, and addressed it to the watch commander, and then as I walked out, I took it to the watch commander, and then, I don't know if I could swear, but, you know, the shit hit the fan. It did. You know, the watch commander immediately apologized, because he immediately realize you're not supposed to block a nurse from being able to report something like that. So, and then he introduced me to one of their, it's this nice female officer that works there. She's a kind of a liaison when this kind of stuff happens and offers support and someone to talk to. And like, he got her into the equation right away. That made me feel a whole lot better. I was really, really relieved that he did that. So I went off with her to do a detailed police report on the official form, finally. And they called in, you know, that charge nurse, they called in that officer. You know, when I reported this, our shift was already over. They had already headed home, were on their way home, almost home. Everyone was called back, no ifs, ands, or buts, to do an immediate report. So, you know, I felt bad that it went down that way, but you know, it had to be done. And as far as I know, he got extra time put on his sentence for that. He was just in for something simple, probably like in the theft or burglary realm. But we had looked up his county jail record. He's very sick. He was exposing himself daily, almost hourly. I know he got written up like 19 times for that. And each time, you know, they'd tell him they're going to write him up. And each time he'd be like, I'm going to kill everybody in this jail. So I read that. I was like, okay, I got to be careful from here on out. The positive was, you know, I knew this guy had a ton of personality disorders and had done this. So, you know, it got reported, it got followed up on, and, you know, the impact was made. And so, you know, the chance of him doing this to someone else, at least in the next while, is very low. I mean, because he got immediately pulled out of general population and was put into, you know, the hole. You know, did this really change my life? And it did. It changed me. At work, I could feel this feeling like this, like my head is iced up or something, and just this tingling, and then it's like shock. I can feel myself going into shock sometimes, you know, right after this happened. I could feel my body shutting down, and then it would affect my ability to think clearly in that moment. I was having anxiety. So I knew then I was different. That I was different. I look back at my life, and this is the crux here. I asked myself, am I really happy? Am I really happy where I'm at in this state, in this town, with the number of friends I have, with my job, with the type of jobs I'm getting? And I decided I'm happy with nursing. I wanted to stay with nursing, but it was time to get out of the state, you know, move across the country. So I have sold my house and I'm doing it. I'm looking for work on the other side of the country, closer to family, and I will be out of here by the end of the year. You know, there's this saying that when you're looking for a sign, you reach a point, when you're ready, you will take anything as a sign. And I reach that point, and that's when you know you're ready to make a move, make that change, fulfill your dream, whatever it is. Yeah, and that was it.